Welcome, listeners and watchers on the wall, to another AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones, Season 8, Episode 4, The Last of the Starks. On this episode, we're talking romance and, better yet, rejection. We're teasing some treason, and we're talking the War of the Mad Queens. Coming up, stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This song never gets old.
It never does.
What's up, everybody?
I'm jealous. You guys got skills.
We're like the intellectuals over here, just judging.
I'm an intellectual.
Of course you are.
Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for another Game of Thrones after show. I'm your host, Ryan Melotti, and I'm joined here by the best panel I could ever have. To my left, we have Anna K. Thomas.
What's up,
she
guys?
Is obsessed with this show and has all kinds of news and gossip for you coming up at the end, so she's perfect for the panel. We have the perpetually lovely Kristen Elizabeth Snyder.
What's up, guys?
She was raised by magical circus folk. Ask her if it's true.
And I was raised by wolves.
And Professor Jeremy Dan on the end, raised by wolves. And he's always got some strategery for us. So when we're talking battles, he's the guy we're going to have on our panel to help us out with that. So we got an awesome panel, like always. We're happy to have you guys back here for another episode. We're going to jump right in and just talk first thoughts, reactions, favorite moments, something you just want to talk about before we get into our subjects that I listed earlier. Boom. First thoughts. Go. What you got?
I liked Theon getting Sansa's Stark pin only because I've come around. You guys know Theon has not been my favorite. I have issues with his character and his motivations, and I actually came around and thought it was a really beautiful, fitting thing for him to be buried with the Stark pin, or burned, honored with the Stark pin, and for his arc to be completed at Winterfell at his home with the Stark pin.
That was a nice
touch.
That was a nice moment. Not every character gets a nice, closure, moment. Mm-hmm. And all of our characters that died last episode kind of got that.
Exactly. So that and he was so instrumental in protecting Bran, so. Yeah.
You guys know I always go with the most dramatic part of the episode. So obviously I'm going to go to whenever Missandei was at the edge. I mean, we knew she was going to die. We just didn't know how. We didn't know if Cersei was going to push her. Turns out the Mountain has, continued to make more enemies. Grey Worm now will probably be assisting the Hound. Yeah, exactly. So I was shocked to see the way they did it. I thought the way they had her on the edge, they were going to push her.
Yeah.
But instead, they beheaded her in front of everyone, which I did not expect.
So if you guys you're watching now, we also do a watch-along, so you can watch us watch the episode. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, we were trying to guess what her last words were going to be. I was thinking Dracarys, so are you, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
But I didn't say it. So no one believes you when you don't say it, But what was it? She said Dracarys.
Dracarys.
And then, I was thinking, oh my god, is a dragon just going to, show up behind
her?
I know,
I was wishing.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
But, I mean, she lost her head, and that's some real consequences to being in the position.
And I think she said Dracarys because she wants the city to burn now.
Yeah, so she's basically telling Dany.
Her wish, her last
burn them all.
I
thought the Mountain was going to do the Ilya Martell move, which is even more violent and dramatic, but it was just the beheading.
Yeah. Well, I think there's plenty more time for that. I mean,
there might be another death or two.
We only have two more episodes. Oh, man.
I know.
It's all crazy. Right. Well, yeah. I personally liked... wait, go for it.
I'm going to take two. One, kind of a what appeared to be a happy time for a little bit, and that's what, the Hound said when it looked like Gendry needed to get a little loving, essentially go for it. They're dead. You're not.
Yeah, the dead are dead.
And that it was embracing the fact that people were celebrating life on that night, and that led to what we all thought was about to be a Winterfell orgy. So a little bit of comic relief, a little bit of real human emotion and spirit. And a second aspect, just because finally we see someone making really intelligent strategic moves, that ambush at Dragonstone, I was looking at Anna Kay, I essentially called the shot, literally. I think I was saying, someone's about to die here. And that was a great strategic move by them. I hope this final battle lines up of good strategic moves against good strategic moves, not like
what they've
dumb
been doing?
On dumb action.
We will get more into it. I know your favorite parts are always have to do with strategery. I mean, that's Professor Satidri over there. We'll get into it for sure. I'd say one of my favorite moments, just to bring it back to Winterfell, you know, was when they're all kind of celebrating, drinking, playing that drinking game. Tyrion's little twist on Never Have I Ever.
Love it.
Yeah, isn't that great? I kind of want to play it someday. I still don't know all the rules, I don't think, but... It just seems like a lot of drinking and kind of playing Never Have I Ever. And it was like one of those moments where...
We have cups.
I know, I was going to say that.
you're a virgin?
Oh my gosh.
It's one of those moments where you don't think you're ever going to get back to because we're so deep in conflict in this series. But to have them all just sitting around drinking, having Tyrion and Jaime talking together again, you know, it just seemed kind of like... Nostalgic to
me.
Nice
reprieve.
Yeah.
Between the two wars.
It was fun. It was fun. Tormund was fun as always. Yeah. I really just loved that whole party. Yeah, that was my initial, like, guilty pleasure of the episode. But we have a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. First thing we're going to talk about is romance rejected. And the reason why we're calling it that is because there was a lot of different romantic storylines that seemed to either come to an end or to come to some kind of pivotal complication, right? So let's start off with one that that's kind of like a new blossom of a relationship, and it might have just ended. Let's talk Arya and Gendry. What's your thoughts on this, guys? Are you heartbroken?
Well, he fell in love overnight. That was pretty quick.
It was pretty
quick. I argue he's in love. He's been in love this whole time.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, she did save his life multiple times in earlier seasons. She's always had his back, so why not fall in love with a girl who's always had your back? But I did feel like the Hound set him up to be rejected because the Hound was like, yeah, go get it, man. I mean, he survived.
And he's been drinking, so he's all confident. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, yeah, you know what? And he's all high off of being, like, declared lord.
Yeah, right? And he just wanted to share it with someone who has been with them through it all.
Yeah,
but she told him what she's been saying from the beginning. You know, I'm not a lady. That's not me. That's a philosophy she's had throughout. So she's basing it definitely on who she is. Who knows? Maybe there's time for her still to come
change
around. Hopefully,
mind.
That could pull in an extra alliance partner that we could talk about.
Open her heart for love. I don't see it.
Yeah. She was so cold. I haven't seen something like that, like a flat out, like deadpan rejection since Daenerys rejected Daario Naharis. You know what I mean? She's just like, yeah no. But thanks, you know,
and then
almost continues to go back what she was doing, like, in that same scene.
Wait, I had a rejection like that last Thursday. Come on.
It's
happening all the time.
Well, on that note, Lord Gendry Baratheon.
Storm's End.
Does Jeremy, do you know, or does anyone know, does Storm's End have Bannermen? Is this more of a symbolic thing for Dany, or is it like he's actually... you know, could play a role in this.
I've been wondering, you know, the lineups and the count. So, you know, we know part of Stannis' army abandoned him. There are definitely live Baratheons. There are, you know, I don't know if Beric Dondarrion was in touch with his house, but that's a vassal house of that house, and he definitely allied himself. So are we going to see somehow some Baratheons in the field of battle? We didn't see them when we freeze-framed it at the end, but who knows? Maybe there's going to be some... That's what I was just saying. There could still be some alliance partners drawn in.
Yeah. It's right below King's Landing, if you're looking, Ryan.
Yeah.
I do know.
I know where everything is.
Yes.
On the map, we were just in Boston.
We were.
With the map. We became very close to that map.
Okay, cool. Well, poor Gendry. I was rooting for him. At least they had some fun.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a harsh rejection. I thought it was actually sweet. I think she was just stepping into her own self. Actually, this whole season has led up to Arya and Sansa stepping into their own light and who they really are. And I think it was sweet when she kissed him and basically said, without saying it, I love you, but. So, I love you, but you can't change who I am, and I have my own destiny to fulfill, and it's not being a lady in your castle.
Yeah,
you know?
She's like, good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Independent.
I got
woman.
Arrows to shoot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he handled it like a champ, I guess. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe he just went and drank some more.
Probably.
Next, we have the will they or won't they story of Brienne and Tormund,
aww.
Giantsbane.
I was kind of sad
about
that.
You sad about that?
Yeah.
Me too.
Did you want
I'm
it to
Kristen
happen?
On this one.
We
it,
were
it
kind
was
of,
sad.
It was a big love triangle between Brienne and Jaime and Tormund, and he came on really strong.
It's the classic, like, you know, when the girl has, like, the hot guy versus the nice guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Jaime's the hot guy, yes. And, like, the guy, the captain of the football team type of figure. And then you have Tormund, who's, like, the nerdy, like, still a fierce fighter,
he's
obviously.
He's more the class clown.
You know, but the class clown and whatever. And it's like, okay, you went with Jaime, look what happened. Versus maybe if you picked Tormund, you could have had a better outcome, you know?
I still think there's hope for her and Tormund.
It's possible.
I
mean, they're both in the north, so.
Yeah, and sometimes you gotta go with the one that's not right for you, so you realize what is right for you.
She could just send a raven. He went a little, I mean, he's just a couple hundred miles north taking the people back. I mean, how many freak folk were left? 15? He's taking them back up to north of the wall, but she might be able to entice him back.
Mm-hmm.
She's too outside of that that upbringing. I don't think she can get over her upbringing in terms of, like, she's so fighting for that knightship, and she's fighting for those titles and, yeah, like, being that person who's code of honor, and he's so outside of that.
So you don't think she's going to send a booty raven?
I don't think the booty
raven. I don't think it's going to happen now. I think maybe in the last episode we could see them come together, because Jamie's not going to be alive anymore, and mm-hmm. It's just going to be her and Tormund.
Real quick,
they could finally get together.
There is a bird called a booby. A booty booby.
Okay.
That bird.
The age old tale of what you want isn't always what you truly need. So I guess we'll see how it plays out. The Hound even rejected somebody at this party.
I know.
There's a lot of rejection going on. Do you think Sansa set that up for him, or you think it's just like, you know, I mean, why did we need to see that? Why did we need to see the Hound just like not want to have any fun?
She was taking a real interest. She was watching mm-hmm. that from across the room, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And the Hound, I think, and maybe it's why we see him ride off with Arya later, he is still single-minded in a way that we've only seen one other single-minded character, and that is Arya mm-hmm. with her list. Mm-hmm. And he was not to be distracted on that night or any other, which is maybe why they're on the horses together riding south, and who knows, maybe already at the south by the time this episode ends.
Yeah, they might be. So...
And what do you guys think that is that's on his mind? I mean, obviously it's his brother, right? He wants to kill his brother. Clegane Bowl may be happening. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're going to make a big to-do out of it. I think it's going to be one of the side fights, one of the fights we see on the side.
I completely agree.
What do you guys think? Do you think?
You know, I just want him to find some peace. It seems like the Hound is the kind of guy who almost had it there for a month, you know, and remember when we saw him, like, raising a church with his new church buddies, and they all got mm-hmm. slaughtered almost right away. It seemed like, okay, here's a guy who, you know, he might be all right. You know, he might have a happy ending. And now he's so far deep again that he just wants to tie up all the loose ends, all the closure, because he knows there will never truly be any peace for anyone as long as his brother's helping out the Mad Queen.
And romance after.
Maybe. Hopefully. Wouldn't it be nice?
With who? I can't imagine.
I can't either. But who knows? He might have a romance in the future. He didn't want one today. He might later on. Let's go and talk about...
It's going to be someone random, like Yara or something. Like someone coming out of the woodwork.
That'd
you know?
Be nice.
Sorry, did you guys think that she reminded you of Littlefinger a lot this episode? In terms of, like, sending her women to the Hound and then trying to get the information out of him, and then how chaos is a ladder and every step she's doing in this episode is mm-hmm. causing more of it.
Mm-hmm. I love that, and that's Steven in the booth, ladies and gentlemen. He's engineering our show live as we speak, and he has his very good points, because Littlefinger is amazing, and he rubbed off on Sansa in a very tangible way. She is putting her manipulations into practice, and even when it came to betraying her her brother or uncle later on, we'll get into treason.
Cousin.
What is it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, she even says, without Littlefinger, Ramsay, and the rest, I would have stayed a little bird my whole mm-hmm. life. So mm-hmm. she's definitely taking their wisdom and bringing it forth in her whatever plan she has coming.
She's a slippery snake.
Yeah, I think that's what happens to a lot of girls, unfortunately. Like, you have to go through life, and you have to honestly be, like, drowned in pains and sorrows and difficulties and losing people you love. And then, especially the way it's happened to her, she's had a lot of trauma that's made her grow up and find ways to protect herself, not in a physical way.
Right. We've seen her arc almost come full circle I would love to hear in predictions at the very end of our episode what you think the future holds for Sansa Stark. Right now, let's go to Jaime and Brienne. We saw them have a little moment. Brienne gave it all to Jaime, and then he took it all back.
Away.
Yeah. So tell me how you feel about the whole Jaime and Brienne arc. It really went zero to... I feel like this episode, everything went kind of zero to 100, you know, real quick. And so they went and they made love, and then he left. I mean, how do you feel about this?
I enjoyed this this whole storyline, and I always in my heart knew that Jaime would be drawn back to King's Landing, whether it was for Cersei for love or because of the war to... like he did with the Mad King, to kill her in order to save the people and do what's right. So I always knew Jaime was not going to stay in the North. When they said he was staying and all of that, I was like, this is not going to last. Didn't love how it had to happen and him breaking Brienne's heart. And that line at the end when he was like talking about how evil Cersei was and then basically saying, like you said, Professor Jeremy Dan, like they're akin. Like they've got the same evil in them and the ability to cause pain and do harm.
Well, during our screening, we have with most characters what we refer to as the character arc, how they kind of have this shape to their journey. And I said, he's essentially the roller coaster character. He has an arc this way, and then an arc this way, and an arc this way, and an arc this way. And we saw him almost wanting to go back toward that descending arc again when he had had his redemptive journey all the way from the time he had that snowflake come into his hand down by King's Landing to going through the North to facing danger, declaring his loyalty to fight for the living, even though it looked like he might be on trial at that point. We saw him on that upswing, and then we maybe thought with Brienne this was locking it in.
Right.
Locking in that noble side. But is he just saying, like, I can never be that noble guy? So
no,
that is what I was
going to
ask. Kristen, what do you think?
No, so I think that you guys both think that maybe he's going back to Cersei. But I think in this moment, it was just the fact that he needed to tell her enough things like, I'm not a good guy. Mm-hmm. You should be with a good guy. That's not me. I've never heard him admit to anyone pushing Bran out of tower.
Time. Yeah.
So the fact that he admitted that out loud to her, and she obviously knows who that is, and strangling his cousin when he was being held prisoner by the Starks, and there's something else he said that he did that was horrible. Oh, he would have killed
everyone
in River Run. Yeah, I mean, I think that he just knew that was needed. Like, she deserves better, probably, and that was his way of breaking it off with her. But I think...
after he got the goods.
I think he... well, that's every guy. But in my experience, just kidding.
Tee-hee,
at Cinematic Escape. I had a point here. So, I think he's honestly, though, going south. Not to love Cersei, not to be there for her and help her, but he knows deep down that he is the only one that can get close enough to kill her.
Now,
and he knows that's what has to happen. I do not think he loves her. He would have stayed.
Yeah, I said either or. I could see it going either way.
Why
wouldn't he just tell her that? I'm just curious.
Stephen in the booth.
So the way I interpreted this scene is... the moment he has that change is when he hears that she decimated the fleets.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he's realizing that just as he did with the Mad King, he has to do something because he's the only one who can.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, how is he just going to hole off after all of the evil he's committed when he should be the one to take her out to prevent even more people?
I agree. I think that's. Yep, I think you're right on point. But my question is, why wouldn't he tell Brienne, look, I'm the only one who can get close enough to Cersei to make this happen?
Because that's him being a good guy who she will love. He wants to make it easier for her to not want to be with him. He's like, I'm not this good guy who you think I am.
I think it's two parts. I think it's that, but also, as we found, word travels fast in flash travel King's Landing.
That's right.
And if Cersei hears that he has left them...
yeah.
to go back to her, and if that's what Brienne tells Sansa and that's what spreads, then he has a better chance of getting in.
I agree.
Interesting. Okay, I guess we're going to have to see how it plays out. Jaime's on his way down. Well, next episode, maybe we can tell me predictions of what you think is going to happen. Moving on to our next romance rejection. Let's talk the big scene between Daenerys and Jon. We saw that Dany had some... emotional instabilities at the top of the scene. You know, there was a victorious thing, but we saw that she was struggling with you know, obviously people are following Jon naturally, and she kind of feels alone. Her armies are kind of gone. Her Jorah's gone. She kind of feels alone. And now we see Dany and Jon in a room together. Jon's on his knees saying, I love you. I swear an oath to you. You're my queen. And she is laying down the law as to what she expects from him moving forward. And she kind of rejects his proposition to be open and honest about his history as her nephew to the world. And she's not having it. How'd you guys see this scene playing out? Did you expect that from her? And how do you think the dynamic of their relationship has now changed?
Well, I mean, I feel like in this episode, more than others, we saw her being a mad queen, which is what Anna Kay had talked about. And in this moment, I mean, I wasn't a Dany fan anymore. I have been through all the seasons. You know, I loved her. And in this moment, she says, the truth will destroy us. And that's not true. The truth would not destroy her relationship with Jon. What it would destroy is her claim to the throne, which was very obvious that that's the only thing she cares about now.
Sure.
And it hurt really bad for me to see her character not grow in this by this point in all of the seasons. But somehow they've made me love her and now not want her to be queen. Like, I'm on board with Varys' plan of what seems to be to kill her if she survives.
Kristen has turned, y'all.
She's, I know. She's teasing some treason.
Cold-blooded.
We're getting to that. And we'll talk about that real soon. Any thoughts on their relationship?
Well,
Jeremy,
mostly from that political. I actually want to take that on the political aspect with the treason aspect, because I think what you're saying is totally correct. It was something that made her less charismatic. I mean, and I think you could almost read it on. We read it on her face as viewers of a show. I think that other people, like Varys, were starting to read it. She was not as secure in anything, and it's going to dovetail right into what we talk about next.
Right. It's a shame that, I mean, it seemed like for a few episodes they were truly kind of falling in love. I think that Daenerys seen a lot of success as a conqueror. I mean, she, you know, grew into her own as a strong, independent person who saw a lot of success, but I think that success fed her entitlement, and now she's locked in on power instead of what truly matters is the realm, right? Doesn't it? I mean, what really matters at this point anymore? It's the Game of Thrones, and she's playing to win. It just, it's unfortunate that their relationship is now kind of being sacrificed, so it seems. I mean, I wouldn't say that they have a successful relationship, would you?
And at first when she went in there, we even said in the trailer, is this a power play? Is she playing him by pushing this love, and if you love me, this is what you'll do?
Right.
And by the end, I really do believe that they do love each other and that has been culminating in truth. But again, like I said, I kept saying Mad Queen, just like her you know, just like her lineage, Mad Queen, just like Cersei, because it's taking over and we've seen it slowly build up. But this is the most visceral that I felt Dany's crazy lust for power overtaking all of her other emotions and her other abilities.
Right. She almost even threatened him.
Yeah. It felt like a threat, didn't it?
It's also a huge shift from last time because she didn't believe him.
Exactly.
And now she 100% is calling it the truth.
Because she sees how these other people are reacting to him, and she sees that, okay, the Unsullied, I don't have that many left. Dothraki, I don't have that many left. I'm not in my own lands. She can see how the wildlings are rallying around Jon and how he has all of this allegiance and power. And so I think her visualizing it and seeing it changed everything.
Yeah, she feels threatened. She's projecting that threat onto him. And her position of power and authority is ultimately weakened. She cares more about her claim to the throne than the rightful claim to the throne.
She even says, I never beg, and I'm begging you. I mean, she literally is begging Jon to protect, to lie and protect this secret so that she can have power. And we haven't seen Dany really beg in that position.
I'll be surprised if there's very many Dany fans left after this.
Yeah. To be honest, that term used, beg. We have not seen Dany beg. Has she begged for anything, as you said?
No, to no
I
one.
I feel like the closest she got was maybe at the walls of Qarth. And she was begging to be let in and then threatening to burn their city to the ground if they didn't. And it was that juxtaposition of switching back and forth between, I have no power, but I will destroy you. you know, that Mad we've Queen. Kind of seen, we've kind of seen her do this before in her development. Now here we are again with someone who she supposedly loves. Not only that, but is, you know, in a, you know, she's family. I mean, that's kind of, it's kind of weird to make that connection, but that's the truth. And so, yeah, honestly, I was kind of becoming, I don't know if I'm going to get skewered for this, but I was becoming a Cersei fan. So I was like, this woman knows how to run a battle, a war, a city. You know, she's, honestly, what's so bad about Cersei? To be honest, starting now, she blew up the Sept. But I feel like since then, she's been kind
of
chill.
Since she killed thousands and thousands of people and drove her own son to jumping off of a ledge.
And she's inviting the people all in the castle and leaving the gates open. She doesn't, like Tyrion said, you don't care about these people. You never have.
But if all our enemies are gone, then at that point, is she going to be totally chill? Like, what if Cersei wins the Game of Thrones? These are too many questions for us to answer
right
now.
Well, in the category we're talking about now, which is romance and rejection, who is the one person that didn't reject someone, that used romance and this potential of a relationship
to
cement an alliance? And that's Cersei is the only one with Euron that her line was, you know, the lion will rule the land and the kraken the sea. Mm-hmm. And
our son will rule the seven all. Kingdoms.
Yeah. Everyone else had a chance to further an alliance. Number one, make themselves happier, which we would all like. But number two, strengthen the side they were on in their own personal fortune in the Game of Thrones or whatever you want to call this struggle. And only one of them really took advantage of it, and that was Cersei to great effect.
Yeah, I you know, as deplorable as the characters as they are, it really is cool to see them as a power couple. They're so tantalizing together. I don't know. It's something about it. So Cersei and Euron seems to be, at the end of this episode, weirdly, the strongest relationship that we have in the game. So good for them, I guess. Guys, that's relationships. Can't wait to see where they go and if anyone has a happy ending. Yes, any last thoughts on it?
Can we have an honorable mention for Gilly's pregnancy?
Oh, yeah!
Some good news!
Good
you
point.
Know?
Yeah, very cool.
Very cute, and they want to name it John. I just thought that was a nice little, sweet little nugget in the episode.
I think he knows how it happens.
That's so cute.
That was good.
And just, you know, just to remind you and some viewers, if you saw our last episode, we play a game, which we will play here coming up, called Death Pool. And that's where I give our panel, or we give each other a few names to decide, are they going to die or are they not? And AK, last week, I asked if Gilly was going to die, and you were the only one who said she was.
I thought she was.
So congrats to Gilly and her baby.
No, I wish you well. I wish you and your kin all the best.
Honestly, she might
still die though. I'm just gonna say that.
No, she's not.
The internet definitely gave a lot of flack towards Sam's, what do we call it, Steven? Plot armor. His plot armor, you know, he for some reason survived being swarmed by zombies over and over and over.
Well, so did apparently like 5,000 people still.
Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah, half the army apparently will get into that with strategy. We'll wait. But I guess the reason why he survived is to be a dad for little John. I don't know. We'll see.
And a maester at the Citadel.
Yeah, we
need him there.
Gotta have one.
Little John.
Little John.
Hey.
Damn it up for Little John. All right, guys, before we get into our treasonous portion of our episode, let's play Imp Cup. So at the beginning of before we watched episode 4, we wrote down some predictions for this episode, put them in the Imp Cup, and now we're going to see if they came true. AK, will you do the honors?
Yes.
And for those listening on iTunes or Spotify or any other Apple podcast, any of your favorite podcast platforms, we have a big goblet full of popcorn, and within that popcorn, is now it's all over the desk, are our predictions. AK, what's our first one?
Yes. Okay, there's a Qyburn spy at Winterfell.
Ooh.
I think this was Kristen.
No.
Jeremy Dan.
It's gotta be Jeremy.
Tell us.
Well, you guys know, one of my predictions before was actually a bigger kind of spy and betrayer. And I feel bad about it now, because I predicted that Missandei was actually a betrayer in a big way.
I don't feel bad about Gilly anymore, because that just hurts.
But I do think...
Too soon.
Look, too soon.
Going way back to the ambush by Euron of the fleet and ripping through that when he was able to beat Yara, and then abandoning Casterly Rock. They have been a move ahead on a lot of the strategic moves, and I thought they've had an inside source.
That's a good point. There's a lot of Tyrion's plans were thwarted, right?
That could be.
So we could have a whispering spider in the web.
Yeah. Now, one thing I thought it might be, since I mentioned Qyburn, I thought we've seen lots of kids in Winterfell. They opened up the city. They put the kids in the crypt. And I actually thought we might have one of the kids revealed as one of the little birds. And I don't know. So it didn't play out in this episode, but I wonder if we're going to see some sort of spy. It has kind of been in the background of a number of things at Winterfell.
I mean, we've heard Cersei has spies everywhere, so I have no doubt she has a spy up there.
Excellent prediction. Wasn't confirmed. You lose! Move on!
You can throw popcorn at me.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. There it is.
Oh!
Got him. All right, next up. AK, what's up?
Okay, Jaime will die at the hands of Cersei/Cersei's army.
Okay.
Who predicted this?
I don't know.
It was me. It was so wrong.
In this episode?
I just thought we were going to move faster. I thought we were going to maybe get to King's Landing. When I saw the runtime, I was like, I thought we kind of did. So some of our characters made it.
Yeah.
But, I just thought...
A dozen and a half.
I still think this is going to happen, but potentially next episode.
Yeah, it's not a bad prediction, especially because it's... We only got two more episodes left. Stuff's got to start happening.
It's got to happen.
Great prediction. You were wrong!
I'm wrong.
You lose!
Oh. Bronn, help me out. Bronn will be confronted. This is Kristen because I can't read the handwriting, guys. Bronn will be confronted with having to decide whether or not to kill Jaime and Tyrion, but he will not kill either of them!
Oh my god! Ding, 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 ding. Once again... Kristen, you win. How do you know the answers to what's going to happen in every episode?
You know what? I studied screenwriting at the college. Shout out. And I just feel like studying writing, you kind of know what's going to happen. But HBO, like, if you need a writer, like, I'm around.
I love it. We've got one more in here. Oh, my God. Sorry, guys.
This is your fault. You put it on the bottom.
That was not my idea, but I'm all about it.
It was so far. Oh my god, you guys. Tyrion and Sansa will smash. It can only be Ryan. It can only be Ryan, you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys.
They didn't have a chance.
Okay, let me explain myself.
Because she was sad about...
Look, I really thought that they might... After being put in the crypts and having gone through so much together, that maybe that they could have it could have blossomed and evolved into something more, you know. But it didn't. And not only that, but Arya now doesn't even have a boyfriend. So it's like the Stark women are just, they don't need no man. And
always Robin Arryn.
But who knows? We might find Tyrion and Sansa getting closer together again.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I lose. But congratulations to Kristen, who wins another round of M Cup. I don't know how she does it. Screenwriting prowess.
I want Highgarden, okay?
Oh, gonna have to fight Bronn for that.
Yeah, double or nothing. All right, guys. Thanks for playing. If you guys want to play along, go ahead and leave a comment as to your prediction for the next season. And if you're right, Kristen will throw popcorn at you.
Next episode. There ain't no next
season. Next episode.
And while you're leaving us a comment, give us a thumbs up.
Yes, please. You know what, guys? Honestly, real quick, it doesn't take much for you to smash that thumbs up, but really does. It really does mean the world to us. It really helps out. I'm telling you, there's not a lot we ask for. Just thumbs up if you'd like. It'd be cool.
Also, 5 stars on iTunes.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too. It really does mean a lot. We can't do this show without you guys.
I don't know.
And comment. You guys, I run all the comments in our watch-alongs. It's so fun to see what everyone's saying at the, you know, while it's happening. And so it's really cool to take your comments into consideration. And whatever you leave here, we carry it into the next show. So even if we don't shout you out by name or mention it specifically, I promise you we read everything, and it feeds into our next show. So definitely, definitely leave us comments, too.
Yep, even if it means you're correcting us, because we get it wrong sometimes. We love to see that, too.
Our super fans, yeah.
Yeah, super fans. Love you guys. Thanks for watching. Let's move on to our next subject. Our next topic of conversation is teasing treason. There's a lot of treacherous stuff going on, a lot of backstabbing thoughts and talks. And let's start with the very top of the episode.
Yeah, it didn't start that way. It actually started like it was looking good for Danny. Mm-hmm. So 2 episodes ago, the one before the battle, I commented on this panel that Danny had about 5 or 6 conversations on that show, and none of them worked out well for her in terms of increasing her position. But it looked like maybe she'd learned from that. At the top of this episode, she brings out Gendry, and totally selflessly, even though it puts a Baratheon in a greater position of power, she names him Lord of Storm's End and really gets a lot of momentum from doing that. And then while everyone's toasting, she toasts Arya, the hero, not claiming grandeur and victory for herself, but locking in more allies with the Starks and the Northmen. So really being selfless. It looked like she was really making good moves, but then Tyrion had a very good line after that. We may have defeated them, but we still have us to contend with.
Yeah,
so we even see her starting to feel that position as she looked around that room, and it foreshadows a lot that we see later in the episode. She realizes there are other natural alliances, people having these real conversation based on past experiences together, battles they fought, love they have for each other. And that's the second where you could tell she's feeling isolated, and who shows up next to her. But Varys, who I thought he might be making a power play, we learned a little bit different later. But
yeah, I mean, it was clear from the start that she was alone, isolated, and feeling threatened by everyone else's like admiration for Jon. But I think where it all started off was when Jon was giving the speech about all of the people who lost their lives right before his little eulogy, right? His the longest speech I think we've ever seen Jon give is what you said, right, Kristen? so we saw, and that was a nice little moment. We don't get a lot of that closure. We saw Dany lighting Jorah aflame, Sansa paid respects to Theon, Sam to Ed, Arya to Beric, and Jon to Little Lady Mormont. So they all had their little moments, which was nice. But what I noticed was, all right, the queen didn't say anything. It was Jon who naturally stepped up and said the words, which everyone, you know, is like, who does that? The leader does that. And during the dinner, she kind of threw something out there. Oh, hey, you're now a Baratheon, and here's Storm's End. I can do that because I'm the queen.
Right.
It's like she didn't even bring it up to Tyrion. She didn't bring it up to, she didn't talk to her council about it. It just seemed kind of like desperate.
An act of desperation. I was just about to say that. An act of desperation.
I agree. And I feel like this is the first of many times she's just going to act without considering anybody else's opinion. I think once Tyrion and Varys see how much, I mean, Varys already knows, but how much she's not controllable anymore, she cannot be advised.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll do what has to be done.
I did read those two moves as her being savvy for the first and last time in the episode.
And that. Yep, Steven, what's up?
What's interesting is, too, in that scene, we say that it's this episode where we start seeing her kind of become Mad Queen, right? But everyone in the room stopped and thought, like, everyone's faces looked like she's about to put him to death or something. And we also thought, Gendry might be gone, too. Like,
so
she's already created this energy around her where people are terrified of everything she's going to do.
No, I think she's established that as she's kind of that way. Tyrion definitely has mentioned more than once, I'm trying to, you know, taper her. She does have a temper, and she does act on impulse. And, I mean, she burned the Tarleys, you know. She crucified the masters in Meereen or Slaver's Bay. I mean, she tends to overreact and to because she has the ability to with her dragons and with her armies, and she no one can tell her no, so she just does things.
That's why Tyrion thinks he's so valuable in this in this ruling party because he's the one that said, you know, every good ruler inspires a little bit of fear. And that's totally from our history and Machiavelli talking about, is it better to be loved or feared? She looks like she's tending toward that realm. Mm-hmm. Tyrion probably thinks he can manage that in just the right way. We'll see if either of them are going to work that relationship out well.
Well, all these evolutions of Daenerys's leadership style have laid the foundation for what we're about to discuss, which is everyone's temptation to commit treason against her. Let's go to the title of the episode, The Last of the Starks. We have this meeting between all the Stark mm-hmm. siblings at the Weirwood Tree with Bran and Sansa and Arya and Jon. And Jon had just promised Daenerys that he swore he wouldn't tell anybody, and technically he doesn't.
I didn't feel like he said I won't. Did he say I absolutely won't? He was just kind of listening to her being like, you can't tell anyone.
Pinky swear?
There was a few of those scenes in this episode where I feel like they cut away and just kind of left it to us mm-hmm. to, it was kind of implied as to what, how it shaked out, I guess. But let's, you know, he tells them.
Bran's like, it's your choice.
But we made Bran relevant again. We were all wondering how Bran was going to play into this episode. Oh, and he was very important.
Side note, how come a wheelchair is so, like, impressive of an invention? Like, you put some wheels on a chair, everyone's like, he's like, yeah, there was one that they invented 120 years ago. But since then, there hasn't been a single cripple who's, like, put wheels on a chair. I'm sorry.
Not one that could afford a wheelchair.
It's like a cart. You just take it and you push. I'm sorry. Anyway, I was just like, I thought the wheelchair was like an obvious thing that was easy to make.
Well, you know, the bicycle was only invented about 140 years ago in our society. I guess. Anyway,
the can opener was invented after the can and all that, right? Okay, so moving on. Now the Stark siblings have, they know now that Jon is, you say their cousin, isn't it? Isn't he their uncle? Lyanna Stark's son. No, you're right, cousin. So they're, okay, mm-hmm. so now they know that he is not their brother, he is their cousin, mm-hmm. and they take this information, it's like a stack of dominoes that starts mm-hmm. to fall. Let's start off with, let's talk about each sibling and what they do with that information. What does Arya do? She leaves Winterfell and to go down to King's Landing with the Hound. What is her motivation? Why did she leave? Why did she react this way? And what does she plan on doing with the information? Do you think that she is going to keep it a secret like she swore to Jon she would?
She's the only one I trust to keep a secret mm-hmm. out of the entire family. I mean, Bran to a certain point, but I take Bran.
Bran doesn't tell anyone either.
He just doesn't count, you know?
He has like anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I want nothing.
I just feel like Arya, out of anyone, is the one that can affect them. Well, you know what? Let's not count Sansa out. We'll get to her in a second, mm-hmm. but she has the ability to affect change, like we saw with the Vale, and she really has a strategic mind in a way that Arya's is different. And so I think that Arya's motivation going with the Hound, I mean, she still has her kill list. Cersei's still on it. And I think that that is her motivation of like, okay, I've done what I could at Winterfell. Killed the Night King, which I thought was so underplayed mm-hmm. this entire episode. And I think her motivation is to go kill Cersei.
That's what she's... So do you think that getting that information changed her path in decision-making? Because did she feel like she had some closure after the Night King? It didn't seem like it to me. She was still shooting arrows, you know, like she was training for to finish her list. Finding out this information, did it change her behavior in any way?
I feel like it did not. I feel like she knew she had to be there to talk to Jon because she's sort of the closest person to Jon to get him to plant that seed of, listen, everyone's behind you. Do not trust her. So, like, the only one, she had to be in that moment to get through to Jon, which I think she did a little bit, because he actually said, okay, Bran, tell them. So I think she knew her part of that was over, and she knows Sansa. She's even said to Jon, Sansa's the smartest person I know. So we can take from that she's relying on Sansa to do with that information what's needed to be done.
I think you see her, you said, did it change her, change any of her viewpoint? I think it actually maybe released her back to her original viewpoint where she said, John said, if you only, what was his line? If you only have your family, if you only trust the people you grow up with, you won't have many allies. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't need any allies.
I don't need many,
I don't need many allies. And so I think she's back to that philosophy, which is where she's been the last three or four seasons.
I think learning the truth solidified to her the fact that Dany was not going to be able to take down Cersei. Now she's like, I have to go do it myself. Like, so I think that it didn't change her destiny to go back to King's Landing and handle Cersei. I think it just, it shattered her confidence in our Dragon Queen to be able to help them do it.
Right. So she feels like she needs to be part of it now. I agree with
in
that.
A more concrete way.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that she endorses Jon's claim to the throne, even though he doesn't technically want to claim it? Do you think that she's you think that's what she wants?
Always. I mean, her allies are her family. Of course she'd want them in power. I mean, she said, you can't trust, we don't trust her. She said that. We do not trust the queen. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, she supports Jon and the throne.
And Arya and Sansa have not, as far as we can see, they have not publicly bent to Dany.
Right.
So they are saying, no, we're Starks, and she's not our queen. They keep saying, your queen, this queen, that queen. Like, they don't say Dany mm-hmm. is our queen. So, very interesting. They've drawn that line in the sand, and they've really stuck by it.
Even Tormund said, to the Dragon Queen. Mm-hmm. He didn't say to our queen.
Exactly.
Does Sansa know that Arya is going down and her intentions to kill Cersei and all that, or did Arya just peace out?
I think they know each other.
Do you think they talked about it? They know what's going on?
I don't think they talked about it. No. I think Sansa knows Arya at this point, and Arya knows Sansa and what they're both going to do. I think they have an understanding of what their parts are.
Okay, speaking of Sansa, what's her part? What did she take with this information? What'd she do with it? She immediately told Tyrion is what she did with it. What else do you think is in store for Sansa? I mean, she was never really a fan of Daenerys. She's always pretty much assumed independence in the North. Kind of, you know, on the down low. She never really, but there was a moment where they were almost friends and they had a moment together, mm-hmm. right? Last episode or one before that. But now how does she feel about her position in the North, Jon's position in this game, and Daenerys as a whole?
I view that conversation you're talking about as maybe one step out of 100. I don't think they've ever gotten very close, certainly to being political allies, mm-hmm. except for that battle. So look, there have been some people that in, you know, Vegas betting and whatnot are saying that Sansa is probably the best trained and maybe the smartest to win the Game of Thrones. So she maybe starts some of this information sharing to further that. Again, not that she is plotting it, but she's plotting the success of her house, the independence of the North, and things can happen and snowball, literally. It's the North. So we'll see. Maybe she is setting herself up in these final couple of episodes to be closer to that discussion.
I agree. I think it's going to be Battle of the Bastards Part 2. I think we're going to see Sansa come in and step up in a way that Jon is unable to. And she's going to save the day. And I think the information, again, it's like Arya was destined to go back to King's Landing, in my view. The information pushed her to go now, saying, okay, I have to take control because Dany will not be able to do this. Same thing for Sansa. She's like, Jon is just not capable of taking this the entire way. I have to step in and do what I'm going to do.
I don't see Sansa hanging out for the next two episodes. She's got to, you know, she's going to create some nice summer armor and go to the South.
I disagree. She's going to the South, but I think she will rally all the troops to be there and back up Jon because obviously Dany is not going to come up with a nice strategy plan. She's going to do what she wants. She's going to mess up.
Yeah.
She's probably going to fail. And then we're going to need Sansa to come in like she did with the Vale before. She's going to have to tell all of the North that he's the rightful, you know, heir, and I think that will have Tormund come back down with Ghost. And, I mean, we're going to need everybody. So the fact that he was going home to begin with shocked me.
Yeah, it was kind of, it's like, you and all the Wildlings are just going up north. But they don't care. They don't care about the games that the High Lords play, right? Mm-hmm. But Sansa certainly does, and she was trained really well from Littlefinger. She was planting that idea in Tyrion's head that Jon could be a better leader than Daenerys, and what did Tyrion take with that information? Now that it's out of the Stark circle, right, I think Sansa's the one who let it out. I don't think Arya is going to tell anyone. I don't think Bran tells anyone anything. So Sansa told Tyrion. What does Tyrion now do with this information, and how is he wrestling with it, knowing that there is a real political stake to the throne here?
What does he do with it? He chats with Varys. They're very chatty.
He tells Varys immediately. Everyone just takes his information because it's like they got no TV down there. You know, this is the best gossip they've ever heard.
Well, Varys' line gotta talk was, about it. This is not a secret anymore. Now it's information.
Yes.
So Varys, What's interesting is you mentioned Sansa had that line, what if there's someone better? Mm-hmm. And then Varys, you could see him kind of
Well, they're talking about the qualifications of the throne.
And he essentially, I mean, there's still a little mystery as to what Varys will do, but it does seem like he might be defriending Daenerys. And if there's some issue with it, maybe on the side of Aegon Targaryen.
Varys went from, I'm going to say it again, 0 to 100, we're all real quick. He took this information, and I feel like he goes, wait, so Jon's a Targaryen? We should kill Daenerys.
Yeah,
like, what?
This is his biggest move in the last 3 seasons. He's been kind of asleep for many shows, and now he is back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because Littlefinger's gone.
Yeah, right.
And they used to go back and forth, I felt like. But yeah, I liked how he said, you know, I'm protector of the realm, and we finally got him to chat about what that was. And it's the unknown, the everybody else who doesn't have a voice, who doesn't have any power. So that's who he stands up for. And I feel like that's what we want. We want someone to advise a good leader who stands up for everyone. And that's not Cersei. That's not Dany. That definitely is Jon. I mean, he fights for everyone. He's not as smart as someone like Sansa. But, you know, because they're so close, I feel like they'd be advising each other. But I liked how Varys and Tyrion went back about the qualifications. They're like, does it have to be a man? No, it probably doesn't. But what it does have to be is someone who's tempered. Mm-hmm. Someone who is measured. And we've never seen Dany really be that way.
No, we've seen people follow Daenerys because she's had dragons.
Exactly.
And power. And
she's a usurper.
Right. And people are naturally drawn to people in power, but especially people in power who do things to shake and move the systems that they're in. People who were slaves who now aren't slaves. Of course they're going to follow her, right? Mm-hmm. And she's been emboldened this whole time. Mm-hmm. But now she's starting to lose that power and lose her dragons. And what does she have to move and shake anymore?
Yeah.
Is she really trying to break the wheel? Or is she just trying to maintain that grip on power that emboldened her in the first place? And I think what Varys and Tyrion are starting to see is that she's not necessarily doing this for the right reasons. She's talking about burning innocent people in King's Landing just so that she could take the throne. And it's no longer, there's no longer a motivation to make the world a better place, right?
Yeah, and I want to add to that. I completely agree. I just feel like you brought up this moment earlier. What would have she done if those troops that she, you know, the Breaker of Chains, she broke their chains and she released them, they ended up following her.
Mm-hmm.
What if they didn't? You know, what if she threatened them like she did when she was outside Carth? At first she was like, oh, please let us in. And then that turned into, well, if you don't, I'm coming in anyway. I'm going to kill everybody. So it's like, if those people, it made us feel and trust her when she was breaking those chains and releasing all those slaves, like she was doing it for them. But we didn't see what would have happened if they were like, yeah, okay, bye. Thanks for releasing us. Like, we wouldn't have seen if she was like, okay, never mind. Like, if you don't fight for me, you're dead.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's because it's like maybe she just thought that would work. If I give them the choice, maybe she'll, you know, and we've seen her go through a lot. We've seen her do really noble things, really, you know, benevolent things. Misa. She's been great, but she's also been pretty tyrannical. And we're starting to see the acts of a desperate, tyrannical person. Mm-hmm. And people around her, inner circle, are starting to notice that. And the ones that were closest to her, Jorah, you know, her dragons, they're gone. And so now we see Varys going, Missandei.
Yeah, everyone who's followed her, Steven said earlier, has come to an end.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what Grey Worm, how his relationship with Dany will be changed, or if he'll double down for revenge, or if he'll say, wow, like, we got to this point because of you, following you.
Before Grey Worm, I just want to point out that Varys, he never actually said that he's going to kill her, and I don't think that's his style.
Yeah.
He's a manipulator, and I feel like he's going to have, like, the butterfly flaps his wings effect on propaganda spreading the word of Jon.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And especially if he has contacts with the bank and everyone like that, hey, there's a rightful heir here that isn't crazy, that is part of the Seven Kingdoms and a Targaryen. Like, look at that. That's a slam dunk. Meanwhile, I think Tyrion pulls this out when Dany's going to pull the final thread to burn everyone alive, and Tyrion's going to try to use it, what about Jon, and reveal that he knows.
Very good point. Maybe I could see that. I could see Varys and Ser Devos using their silver tongues to spin political prowess for Jon over Daenerys. Or maybe he could just try to kill her again, you know, like he did back in the good old days, back in, like, back in season one. He's
bring
sending
back the Arbor
assassins
line.
And stuff. Yeah, that's yeah. right. Okay, so we've got some serious treachery going on behind the gates. Daenerys is losing the loyalty of those closest to her. Real quick, before we leave teasing treason, let's talk briefly about Bronn. Kristen, I want to send it over to you because you were the one who predicted this would happen. We have this scene between Bronn and Tyrion and Jaime. He was hired by Cersei to mm-hmm. kill them in exchange for
Riverrun.
Riverrun.
And then it got upped.
And Tyrion turned around and said, "We'll give you Highgarden." And then he like slinked back into the shadows. Where is Bronn? Where is he going? What is he doing? Like,
I mean, he says I'm done, you know, battling. At this point, I'm going to be a killer.
Yeah, I'm done fighting, but I'm not done killing.
Yeah, exactly. And to tell you the truth, I was actually shocked by this. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I see this being out of character for mm-hmm. him. I didn't like the way he completely acted like he was never friends with Tyrion and Jaime. How he just came in and now he's like almost the Golden Company suddenly, and he's like forgotten about their entire friendship, which he hasn't denied previously. And you even said in interviews, you know, he said people aren't going to like my character this year.
Yeah, the actor, Jerome Flynn, said that. Maybe he's a little upset about that. I don't know.
I would be, because I felt like I really liked his relationship with Tyrion. And the fact that he's coming in there even almost breaks his nose. I mean, there wasn't anything likable about him in this.
Yeah.
And it was teased earlier in other seasons that, you know, and they brought it up again this episode, Tyrion saying, if anyone ever paid you to kill me, I would double it, which they do say they're going to do. And I didn't think Bronn would kill them, but I just didn't like his approach. He wasn't friendly at all. He's not going to help them fight, which Tyrion asked him to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. He's annoyed and he goes through the whole kill 100 speech.
I thought it was, we really appreciated that little speech that he gave about how basically people who arise to power, they're originally cutthroats, because in this world, that's how it all starts off. What did he say? He said, you kill 100 men, you kill 100, they'll make you a lord. You kill a few thousand, they'll make you a king, because mm-hmm. that's how it works. I mean, look at Robert's Rebellion. He rebels, kills enough people, the right people, now he's king. And so that's how it works. And he knows the reality of it. I think he's gone through a lot. And he had a castle, and then he didn't, and then he had...
So he's just fed up with
just,
the lies
he's just
and
at the
family.
End of his rope. He doesn't like being, pulled in by these... Almost... Yeah, he's a friend, and this scene was an unadulterated betrayal of that friendship and that mm-hmm. history that they had. But at the same time, these Lannisters have been using this guy.
Yeah.
They've been using him as the tool that he is. A killer. A soldier. A sword. And... Now he's turning it back around on them and said, look, I'm fed up with this. You guys better up the ante and hook it up, or I'm coming after you both. And so now we have him kind of lurking in the shadows. You know, what's going to happen? Bronn's the kind of guy who's going to pick the winning side.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now I don't think he knows exactly which side that is. So he's playing both sides. And what happens when you play both sides in this Game of Thrones?
Y'all lose!
Y'all lose every time! So Bronn was teasing a little treason there against his friends, and that right there was our second discussion. Anything else about treason? Any other notes you guys want to make about surreptitious behavior by our treacherous political power players in the game that are left over?
Everybody's doing it.
Everyone's
it's
doing
trending.
It. Real quick, what do you got?
Jon Snow is the least of all the game players, and somehow you have a great line about this. I've said, and they're somewhat same and somewhat different, but I've always said that because he has no agenda, because he's not playing the game, mm-hmm. you could say he's the winner. From a bastard mm-hmm. to being sent to the wall, to somehow finding power at the wall, to mm-hmm. somehow winning over the wildlings and all of this stuff. And it's because he has no agenda that people... like Davos rally to him and do some of that work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But you have a great analysis
I feel like people are going to hate me. He fails up, you guys.
he
really does. Like, with all of these battles, like, he makes these categorical mistakes and has someone else coming in to save him, whether that be Sansa, whether that be Dany, whether that be the men in his watch. And
Arya.
Arya, of course. And so I just feel like, yes, he has no... But I disagree. I think he now... He owes Dany the throne. And so now she's helped him win this war against the dead. And so I think his goal is to get her on the throne. And he's like, this is my allegiance. I owe this to her. I bent the knee. And I think he's so driven by loyalty, and he's so driven by what he thinks is right and honor, and honoring his love of that, that I think that's what his motivation is moving forward.
You know what's not honorable, though, is the fact that he's had to live his entire life as a bastard and people, you know, calling him Snow and making fun of him. And finally, he figures out and finds out that that's not true, and he's actually heir to the throne, and he has to keep it a secret for Dany. It's like, if you really loved someone and they discovered their whole life was a lie and they were treated poorly their whole life when really they should have been treated the best, it's like, wouldn't you want that for them to finally reveal that?
Yes.
But instead, she wants him to remain a bastard.
And the people that really love him, Bran, Arya, and Sansa, are doing exactly that. Exactly that.
Free him from that bastard name, babies!
It's tough to watch Jon Snow get into dangerous situations because it seems like he just always gets out of them. Like you said, he fails up. He just screams at a dragon, and then he's saved somehow, miraculously.
He
every
brought
time.
That to life, you guys. He failed so badly that he died. And then he brought back to life.
Yeah, and he's kind of like the coolest guy in school, right?
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't really care about anything. And then you're just like, oh, wow, he's so cool.
He's so mysterious.
Make him the captain of the football team. Like, why not?
He didn't run for president, but he was the right in vote.
Yeah, everyone wrote him in.
I mean, on the show, ambition kills everyone, so he's the only one who doesn't have it.
Yeah. But now he does, and I think that's what's going to play out.
Does he?
I feel like he
still doesn't want it.
And his dragon's gone. And I think that's a sign, too.
He doesn't need it.
Maybe he'll just die. Like a lot of other arc characters. I'm just leading us into our next segment, which is Deathpool. Do you think Jon Snow gonna get? No, all right. Let's move on to Deathpool, guys. Deathpool. So, I'm gonna give you guys a few names. You let me know whether or not you think they're going to be dead or alive by the end of the
series. Okay. Well, we know how good I am at this, so we'll see what happens.
You wanted to kill off Gilly.
Poor no! I thought she'd be a casualty of war.
All right, guys, so this last episode we did Gilly, Bronn, and Gendry. None of those characters have died yet, so you're all still in the standing for that. This episode, first name, I'm going to throw out some more main characters. Let's go Tyrion. And the reason why I chose Tyrion as our first name is because when he was standing there in front of Cersei, teasing her to kill him once more, he's done it a few times already. You know, I figured this would be, I was honestly kind of hoping for it, and not going to lie, I was like, Cersei, just let the arrows fly. Show us that this Game of Thrones show still can surprise us. You know, but she didn't, but still, I still think we can be surprised. What do you guys think? AK, is Tyrion going to die, or is he going to
not
be
yet.
Alive at the end of the
series?
He's going to live through the whole show.
He will not die in the next episode. He may die in the finale.
Then you're going to call him dead? You think he's going to die? Or do you think he'll be alive by the end of the finale? Dead or alive?
Dead.
Tyrion's going to die!
He's yelling at me, you guys!
Kristen,
I'm keeping Tyrion alive. I mean, George R.R. Martin says that of all the characters, he sees himself the most in Tyrion. So I don't think he'd kill himself, do you?
I hope not! Jeremy, what do you think?
That's why I always channeled the fact that he would be alive at the end. But what you said is, like, he's the kid at the zoo that's poking his finger into the lion's den one too many times. What's he going to do? Like, ask Cersei out for a cup of coffee to talk about this whole
probably
thing?
Probably. Next episode.
And, you know, you'll get some of that poison in there. So I'm going to say Tyrion died.
Tyrion's gonna die. Very good.
I think alive but maimed.
Again,
I think he loses an arm or something.
Yeah,
maybe he gets another scar.
I'm gonna put Steven over here in this category. I'm gonna call and put an M for maimed. Why not? Okay. You know what? I thought that for our next name, I thought that these two characters were really playing a dangerous game here. It was Tyrion and Varys, right? When we're talking treason, I mean, Daenerys, she finds out that they even whispered anything like this, they're going to be burned alive. And so I was thinking, you know, let's just throw Varys in there. What do you guys think? Jeremy, let's start with you.
What's interesting before is Varys seemed to have, like, a network and real spies. He was the head of their CIA, essentially. Mm-hmm. Now he's just a guy in a robe, right? Does he have any outside power? Does he have any operatives? I think he's operating without a net right now. Mm. I think he dies.
He's going down.
Chris, you know what? I'm going with the red woman. She said, I die in this country, and so do you. So, Varys, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Varys.
Good call. Good call.
I think Varys is like a cockroach that will survive the nuclear war. I'm going to say alive.
Hey, all right.
I was impressed he could swim to the shore.
Okay, right?
He's always seeming to avoid physical
exactly.
activity.
He's a little lighter, if you know what I mean.
His claws look like they were poofy. Maybe they float. I don't know. But very good. We have one more name. One more name that I think might come up sooner rather than later with Clegane Bowl. The Hound. What do you think? What's going to happen with him? Kristen, let's start with you.
The Hound's going to beat the Mountain. You know, the Mountain mm-hmm. has to die. Everybody wants it. He's half dead anyway, so it's going to be only half as hard to kill him. And I think the Hound... I think I want him to be happy. I want him to survive. If anything, he'll die saving Arya, but because I just want him to live and find happiness and be happy and leave King's Landing and...
Just get out of Dodge.
Get out of Dodge. And we haven't seen him stay for battles. I think he's going to go kill the Mountain, and he's leaving. I don't think he's really going to stay. We've seen that a few times, unless, like I said, Arya needs him. So I'm going to keep him alive.
All right. The Hound's gonna kill the Mountain and then get out of Dodge and maybe stay in touch with Arya in the process.
I'll jump on what she just said. In case Arya needs him, we saw in the last battle mm-hmm. where Beric Dondarrion, essentially nothing could get Clegane out there against the Whites until Beric pointed out Arya struggling. So maybe that combo, maybe they're going to be doing some battling, and they'll create a great combo somehow in the next episode. But he has to make the sacrifice move. That's the only thing that I think could mm-hmm. get him there. Otherwise, his preservation would come in. So
dead or alive?
Dead. Dead nobly. Mm. Dead nobly.
Mm. He is going down.
Nobly.
None of you think Arya could die to save the Hound?
I would love that.
I see the relationship I see them. I love the idea of them being like a fighting duo.
They'd be a great
we
combo.
We didn't really see it with the Walking Dead or the zombie the Whites. You know, that whole scene looked like a zombie movie.
I know, it was a crossover.
But like, I wanted to see them, you know, really tag team. I see like the Hound being the guy who like helps Arya dunk, you know. Like shoot, like jump off his back, shoot arrows. And he's like, you know. So I want to see that.
I love Steven's prediction though.
Yeah,
Arya saves the Hound because that's the one thing that would really change the Hound.
Well, it's also because she's just starting her life, but she's already basically given that up. She's turning mm-hmm. down any like stability and foundation for having a future mm-hmm. in this world. Mm-hmm. And the Hound's had to put off having that for so long because he's haunted by his brother. So I think it'd be really interesting if she dies to save him and he has that moment of, mm-hmm. like, now he can live his life.
I think he dies to save her and then in his dying breath says, give Gendry a chance.
Well, Arya said in a interview that her last scene is very lonely and dark. So.
Mm. Mm. What are you going to do with that information, AK? You killing the Hound?
I think he's alive. I want to see him kill the Mountain, and I'm with everyone. I want to see him just kind of go off and live his life.
All right, great. Looks like we have a little bit of a mixed, you know, bag with these two ladies here. But Jeremy Dan is killing everybody.
Oh, Jay Dan.
I think, right?
Well, yeah. We have a lot of pent-up desire for blood on this show. A lot of people were upset there weren't more deaths, which is a scary thing about our society
fans
of this show. But maybe they need to overreact in this next episode.
Maybe Cersei burns them all. I guess we're going to have to find out, guys. This round of Death Pool has now concluded. Death Pool. Moving on to our last and final and ultimate topic. All the synonyms for last. The War of the Mad Queens. Now, Daenerys called this the Last War. I think it's kind of naive to call it the Last War because there really will never be a Last War, will there be? So, AK, we're calling it what?
The War of the Mad Queens.
The War of the Mad Queens.
The entire episode, what I kept saying mm-hmm. in the trailer, I was like, wow, look at how crazy Dany is. She's coming unraveled. Mm-hmm. She's on the same level as Cersei. Cersei, I always say it, all she had giving her humanity was her children. And now that the kids are gone, this fake baby in her belly and her wine drinking, I don't buy it. Mm-hmm. I don't think Euron should buy it.
You don't think she's pregnant?
Qyburn confirming with Euron. The fact that Euron had to look at Qyburn to confirm the pregnancy, I was like, I'm not buying it.
And the look on her face is just like, okay. She's looking at Kyber now. And now back to me, you know, yeah.
I'm not buying it. The only thing that I will buy is her telling Jamie she was pregnant, but that's a side thing. I don't know about that. But I will say that I think that Dany has dropped to the level of Cersei, and I think that we're going to see these two women unhinged, stopping at nothing to get what they want, what they think is best, and they're going to be destroyed by their own greed and lust for power.
Love it. Cersei's better at the unhingedness in that regard. So she came to terms with it. She's standing up on the battlements, and we see her trembling a little bit when she's talking to Tyrion. All of a sudden, she owned the moment. She owned the moment. She had a nice grin. She was having a good time with it.
She loved it.
And the way you would look at this now, there have been people all along that have said, Cersei's a long shot to be winning. Wouldn't that be the kind of way, just in the way Ned Stark's death from the first season let us know this was a different kind of show. Could we have a different kind of queen than we all expect? And the person that coined the whole term, when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die, is that the person that ends up? I'm still not predicting that, but if you were a Vegas bettor, her odds have gone up in the last few episodes more than anyone else's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to that point, and by the end, and I was saying it, and I'm like, I might be, you know, hated for this, but I was kind of rooting for her. To be honest, I was sitting there going, you know, if Cersei didn't have any enemies, this would be a pretty peaceful world that we're living in, honestly, you know, I mean, it seems like she has the power, so she hasn't really been trying to do anything about it, other than take care of Daenerys, who came from, you know, the other side of the world. So, like, by the end, I was like, you know, especially when you saw Daenerys with her only, like, what, 24? It looked like it's such a tiny little... She didn't bring her whole army. Yeah. That's not what you do in those kind of, what are they called? Not peace
parleys.
Talks, parleys. But still, just to see Cersei and her in King's Landing with the scorpions on everything, like, it's like they actually know what they're doing. You know, you're like, wow, that's a tight ship she's got running up there. You know, almost like, could Cersei win? And how would I feel about that? I'm conflicted right now, which I love.
I'm not team Cersei, but I did have a moment of, I wanted to see her flex. I said, I want to see her, for a moment, I feel bad that I even had that in me, but we all kind of have it in us, right?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, kill Missandei or hit Tyrion. Like, let's go. Something needs
do
to happen.
Something.
And it was weird how the show turns things around. We always talk about it and makes you want things that you never thought you wanted out of your characters.
I want to talk about how much they have in common, actually, Dany and Cersei.
Yeah.
So they both have been victims of trauma. And we've sort of just seen that spiral. So obviously they both have lost most of their children. Dany lost her dragon. Cersei has lost all her children in various seasons.
And her real baby.
Exactly.
Yes. Dany's real baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then they both have been tortured. I mean, we saw Dany tortured by her own brother, and we saw Cersei, you know, having to lose her mother, unfortunately.
They've both been imprisoned.
Mm-hmm. Lost their parents. They've both been forced to marry men they didn't want to. They never really got to choose love. They both have been raped. They both have been, you know, just these victims that have been through trauma after trauma, and that has led to this them spiraling for power. And, I mean, what else would we expect?
Right.
So we've seen other people deal with it better, though, like Sansa. You know, it's made her better, smarter, being able to manipulate. And I think Sansa, in comparison with Cersei and Dany, actually would be able to do what's right for the people. Where at this point, where Cersei and Dany are, I just feel like they're too far down this spiral that they can't see past the revenge for themselves,
right.
Getting that revenge and power for themselves because of what their cards have been dealt, unfortunately.
I think it's an incredibly insightful comparison between the two, between Dany and Cersei. It's not something that I really thought about before. You talking about it is like, you're right. You're absolutely right. Their stories are incredibly paralleled. And on top of that, with Sansa, we have the War of the Mad Queens, but then we have Sansa, the unexpected queen in the North, who has gone through similar, you know,
trauma.
Being objectified, different traumas. You did say it's made her better. I think that's an arguable point. I think that it's possible that she is not necessarily the best person in the world, you know, so...
Not better, but I just meant it's made her from this weak girl.
You think that she could be...
She's taken a stand, and she's fighting for the people instead of herself. I don't think Sansa's fighting for herself. Like, I feel like Dany and Cersei are because of what's been done to them.
Sure.
I feel like it's more so that she has a better understanding. This trauma has provided her insightfulness
and perspective
to try to make better decisions for other people. And I just see that maybe it's because they've lost more. She did lose her whole family as well, Sansa, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what people is Daenerys really looking out for? It's obviously Cersei isn't looking out for anybody in particular. Let's talk strategy here. Let's talk strategy from the north coming south. We had them in their little battlement room with their map, and they said for some reason they only lost half their armies. I thought that was a little strange.
We were all shocked.
We were all kind of like, well, I thought the Dothraki were gone, and the Unsullied were gone, but like, I think it's popcorn here. They only lost half of our armies. So
they had the dominoes. Still in the game. They had the dominoes on the table. I thought they were going to pull them off, and there's going to be one domino left. And they were like, "What are we going to do with this?" Yeah. Like, I guess I'm not as good at counting as I thought I was, because I was thinking there was 80-90% loss in that.
Right.
If you think about, again, back to the original domino room when they had the war room, the Night King's forces looked to be about 3 to 4 times the size. We heard that force was 100,000 and more, so consider they had 30 to 35,000. So they still maybe theoretically have a total force of, you know, 15 to 17,000 plus a dragon. Plus a fleet.
Right, let's talk about, I mean, their plan was, let's go down there, okay? We're going to, they had some questionable tactics. They wanted to cut off the food for the people in King's Landing to turn the people against Cersei, right?
It just makes no sense.
Did that make any sense to you guys? Or did I miss something? I was taking notes and stuff. I'm like, wait, hold on. They want to make the people suffer to for them to turn on Cersei? And that's not how it works,
It's a common battle tactic, actually.
Yeah, but wouldn't they just be pissed that the invader is like blowing up their
food. They're
not
going to know who's doing it.
And they underestimate Cersei's ability to mind control her people.
Yeah,
you
I'm
know?
Sure she'd
like
be like
the master mind manipulator.
That dragon queen out there is burning your food.
Yeah. And they all blindly follow her. And I will say to Kristen's point about Sansa and comparing Dany and Cersei, Sansa's the only one grounded in reality. Mm-hmm. She's the only one during the war that was counting barrels of hay and food supply. What do dragons eat? And I've only accounted for this through the winter. Like, she is tactically always thinking about the people.
Right.
And so to see Dany, you know, talk about the food supply and then blindly fly the dragons into Dragonstone, which has been unprotected this entire time.
Yes.
It makes no sense.
Yes. They get in ships and they teleport down to Dragonstone.
Teleport.
Should have taken a month.
Yeah. You know, a couple months later, blink your eyes and they're down there. And you watch the watch along. We're all just kind of like, so. And Jeremy, especially.
It.
Yeah.
I said dragon down. Dragon down.
Yeah, dragon down. I mean, and he's way down. There's some people talking about how he might be okay. No, I don't know.
I think he could be okay. The only reason I think he could be okay is because of what Jeremy said. Like, everybody in the prediction when we were seeing what's going to happen next episode, everyone's staring up the sky as if they're not just expecting maybe one dragon, but two. I mean, it looked like he's done. He's a sea dragon now. Who knows? He could have washed up on the shore.
I know.
I'm just putting it out there.
So their plan was to go down to Dragonstone to set up a home base and to reconvene with this new Prince of Dorne. This is a little bit of a gem that was dropped, right?
And Yara.
Did I mention Yara? I must have missed that.
She took over the Iron Islands again, so
Okay, that's right.
Is in command.
So she's there. She's probably been working on building a fleet up, right? So let's assume that Yara and her fleet in the Iron Islands are gonna, I guess, come to a T with Euron and his Iron Fleet, right?
And the Golden Company.
In the seas. But we have this new Prince of Dorne that's gonna bring a force from the south northward. That's a new element that I think is that we can kind of keep our eyes on, everything was kind of overlooked. And on the way down there, I don't know how many people they lost or like how many ships they lost.
Several
like what really,
ships destroyed.
Ships were destroyed. A dragon is dead.
Missandei taken hostage.
Missandei was now she's dead. So Hand of the Queen is gone. Well, I guess Tyrion is Hand of the Queen, but her closest loyal advisor next to Jorah is now gone. What went wrong here. I mean, the plan was, let's go down there and get ready for this war.
Well, it's the same logic.
It's the same old thing.
Leads you to put a bunch of people in the crypts, right, even though you're fighting someone that
raises
the dead.
Right.
Where, you know, you watch horror movies and there's always that phrase, you know, don't go in there. Like, you know, let's take the shortcut through the woods. And the army of Danny and John keeps taking the shortcut through the woods. I mean, these are the people that put their trebuchets in front of their main lines where they could be firing.
Let's put a spiked trench behind our army.
Yeah. So,
you know, just in case
they need a retreat.
If we need a retreat, then we can't.
They're making it interesting for, you know, when we saw, what was it, two seasons ago, when that fleet takes off with Tyrell ships, with Greyjoy ships, with Targaryen ships, with dragons flying above, and it was probably three or four times the size. Now we see where they're the smaller army. Now Tyrion said we'll be essentially at par. I don't see that. I see them small. They just imported 20,000. They have still the Lannister army. They have the Gold Cloaks, who maybe can do something. But
yeah,
you have siege works. You have the ability to resist a siege in a walled city. So
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe we're reading this wrong. The producers talked about how all the players in the game were already on the table, all the pieces. Mm-hmm. Is this Prince of Dorne a new piece? It seems very random. Now, the Knights of the Vale are in it, and it didn't seem like they were fully committed in that battle. As a matter of fact, I think we only had a couple of thousand of Knights of the Vale there. Sansa could maybe, it'd be a little cliche, but maybe could bring them back into the fray in a big way. Are there other pieces that could be brought to bear? Or are they going to lay siege, essentially outnumbered? The final piece is, we've heard this story like five or six times already, the phrase, the Golden Company has never broken a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a first time for everything? Is this the Golden Company has its origins in actually to the bastard branch of the Targaryen family? Is there something that could play out in that way?
Steven, go ahead before I forget. Or you go ahead. I'll write this down.
One of the things I was going to point out, because your question, Ryan, was what went wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think they pointed out with some foreshadowing, even on Danny's side, when Sansa says, it's not only our troops that are tired.
Yeah.
And I think that directly plays to the dragon, because what if he had an extra month to recover before that? Could he have dodged those spears? So
Yeah,
and that was her. And Sansa was like, we're not ready. Mm-hmm. Once again, smartest person was like, we're not ready. We need to rest. And Jon's like, oh, we'll do whatever you want, Danny. Make more bad decisions.
Yeah, just because he's in love with her, he's jaded and wants to just prove in front of everybody, in front of her, like, I'm going to do what you say. Once again, we have people unnecessarily making these bad decisions. I have a few quick questions about that concerns about strategy, and wanted to hear your guys' take on it. I had a thought about Second Sons. Is Dario Naharis still, you know, could he possibly come into play? Is he going to bring his army to help out Dany, fight her battle? Is that possible? You think?
Hopefully. We need everybody we can get, but I don't know that it's going to happen.
For Arya's potential allies in Braavos, she has the faceless man, you know, Jaqen H'ghal.
They left on bad terms, kind of.
Yeah, do you think that could come back at all?
I don't know. I think I'm with Kristen that I think Arya barring a face may come into play in our final episodes. She may kill someone in order to, like, the Jaime thing, I don't know, but I would love that. That's an interesting theory, but I think Arya will go back to her training in the House of Black and White, and maybe that can come into play into how she takes Cersei down.
Interesting.
One of you guys mentioned during our viewing the fact that they opened the gates, and it seems like another devious but potentially good Cersei move of getting a few thousand extra people in the city that invaders have to fight through.
Yep.
But that also means you have hundreds of people that could be infiltrating. And what happens if Dany learned from, say, the Sons of the Harpy, the way they were kind of infiltrated and all over the city and could pop up and make some moves. And you were just mentioning Arya. Arya is the perfect type of person that can take advantage of that kind of situation.
Yeah, we think the Hound and Arya is probably already in there, as we saw them leave before everybody else. So who knows what they're up to in there.
So Cersei's strategy is to use the people of King's Landing as kind of like a human shield, but it might come back to bite her, is what you're saying. Because she's leaving the entire inner workings of the city vulnerable to small little threats that could weave in and out, like Arya or other potential little birds. Okay, cool. So we have Cersei's strategy, not perfect.
Better.
Better. Daenerys' strategy, far from perfect.
What strategy?
Very flawed.
Do you think that... all right, so what about these... I know we talked about last episode, the swords that were left behind. Any of those going to come into play? And also, Sam had some plot armor on. What was he wearing that armor for? Is the Citadel going to come into play at all as well? Are the Maesters going to, you know, be involved in any way? I don't know. Do they involve themselves with this kind of thing?
I don't see so. I mean, maybe Sam gets there and, like, you know, tells them what's going on, and maybe they can help influence what happens. Maybe.
They have the ability to send ravens to every major house and to send a message to John everybody at the same time.
Would Sam release that, you know, John's the rightful heir from there?
That might rally everybody.
Would believe exactly. If it came from the Citadel.
And does he have the burden of documenting that? Like, is it in his right to basically inform all of the other Maesters about what has transpired, the history?
I don't even know that that's for sure where he's going. Yeah. They really didn't say where he was going. But Danny was like, I'm going to make sure you're head honcho over there.
He still ain't
If you need a promotion, go to Danny, man.
I know, right?
Maybe for just short time longer.
Yeah, but she said that before it was revealed about
So where's he going?
The double burning action. Remember, the Maesters are another group that I think, as Vera says, they are on the side of the realm and of humans and of knowledge and of continuity in that way. Would they play politics in this way of you know, they're documenting
The Golden
everything.
Company, maybe? Would they do something to control the Golden Company, maybe?
Well, we have
we have
a lot of players in this game. Jaime's going down to King's Landing. We can't forget about that. Arya's going down there. I mean, there's a lot of individuals who can really. I mean, as we've seen, how Arya ended the war almost literally single-handedly ended the Night King's reign, like multi-thousand year reign of terror. You know, it's very possible that another single-handed play could end this whole war.
She could be. I mean, there's theories she's the promised princess. So you know,
the princess that was promised.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't see her killing the Night King, but since she has, I wouldn't want to see her kill Cersei again, because we just saw her make this big, you know, heroic act. So if anybody, I'd like to see Jaime do it, or if he dies on the way and Arya takes his face, that's still pretty redeeming for me that, you know, Jaime kills Cersei. But that's what I want to see at this point, is Jaime to be the one who takes down, you know, the love of his life.
Cool. Let's go. Any other final thoughts about the episode before we roll into news and gossip and predictions, guys? Any final thoughts?
I was pretty satisfied.
All right. I love it, too. Great job. Let's go. Any news for this week, guys? What do we got? Who wants to go? Jeremy, what you got for us?
I'll go. Well, some people might have seen Jason Momoa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Shear off, shave his very famous beard.
Who this? Who this?
Look at that.
Hey. That's J-Mo. And he did, you know, he probably had to do it because he's getting ready to play a major role in the new adaptation of Dune.
Ooh. Yes, Dune.
I met him at Comic-Con and he's rad. Really, really nice.
Kristen,
guy.
Didn't you say something like for every beer he drank, he had to do like 100 push-ups or something?
Yeah, his real deal Mata, his trainer was there. Yeah. And they were talking, and he wasn't really drinking because, they mentioned every time he does drink, he has to do like so many push-ups or something.
And he's even more rad than that, because I bet he was drinking that out of a glass bottle that he recycled, because he's bigger than the environment. He did this to raise awareness about plastic in the ocean and dumping, and they called me and said,
Jeremy,
JD, I need you to shave off your beard to raise awareness. So he got millions of people committed to the cause. I could maybe get 10 or 12 here. No ocean dumpage. Keep plastic out of that ocean.
It makes sense since he's Aquaman.
I can't grow a beard, so I'm all for it. I'm all about it, you guys.
You shaved it off to support this?
I shave every week or so.
Or you put some milk on there and have a cat lick it off.
Milk
anyway. So everyone loves, another news item, everyone loved the little bear, Lyanna Mormont, who we lost in the last episode. And she was played by Bella Ramsey, who got a lot of attention, doing great things in a small... They say there are no small parts, just small actors. And she prove that by being a small girl who was a giant actor in the scenes that she had. But what's interesting is she comments in a few of the news outlets as her parents still don't let her watch the show. Wow. So she thinks when she turns 18, she might be able to watch it. She says she watched a few episodes that her parents would watch with her and then essentially step in the way of the scenes that she wasn't able to watch. So again, just kudos to her. She's done an amazing job. Oh, and she also made some news, I guess, because she has some dancing prowess. And Stephen was talking about this earlier.
Yeah, oh my look God. At her breakdance.
I saw that video. Wow. I swear.
It's going viral.
I saw this video online. I did not know that was her. I thought it was just some girl. I was like, that's pretty good. Look at this.
Now we know.
Oh my gosh.
She's not just a boss with her words. She's a boss with her dance moves.
Wow. Once again, if you guys are listening at home, go ahead and check us out on YouTube. You'll be able to watch some of this along with us, and you can see what we look like and our crazy antics.
Our show of many talents.
She should have used some of that in the battle. You could totally.
It seems very useful.
Yeah.
Those moves.
So Bella is someone I hope we hear from in the future. I think
she's got a promising future.
She brings a natural audience to things she might get involved with, so she'll probably hit some other cool properties in the sci-fi and fantasy realm.
I love it. I'm a fan. What do we got next up?
Couple things. So our buddy Drake was at the Billboard Music Awards. This was this past Wednesday. And I love it. During his acceptance speech, he won for Best Album, Scorpion. He gave a shout out to Arya Stark. So he said, quote, shout out to Arya Stark for putting in that work last week. Of course, talking about her epic ending in the Battle of Winterfell. So just goes to show that celebrities and us normal folk alike are just obsessed with the show. And I just thought, how cool to get a shout out to your character by Drake winning a Billboard Award.
Very cool.
And then also, the Billboard Awards, our girl Sophie Turner got married to Joe Jonas. So they Sophie plays Sansa, of course, and they did a surprise wedding after the Billboard Awards in a Vegas chapel. And they had all types of celebrities there.
In Vegas.
And they just did a quickie surprise wedding. And she is married, and they are honeymooning here in LA and just living the life. So we're very happy for her. Real life Sansa getting married. It's great.
The yellow
guys,
wedding.
What's bigger, Drake or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Drake is kind of a name of a dragon in a way.
Drake on.
Drake Karras.
Drake Karras. Exactly. We could go on.
Yeah.
Okay. You got anything else? We got some predictions.
Yes.
Is that it for news?
That's it for news.
Cool.
And now you're after Buzz.
Predictions. All right, right on. Well, we had a lot of predictions throughout the episode. I mean, we were talking about, Arya ripping Jaime's face off and killing Cersei.
I don't think she'd do that. I think that either he would die, by the hands of Bronn or somebody else, and then maybe Arya would kill Cersei with her face. But after this past episode, I really think that Jaime knows he's the only one who's going to be able to get close enough to take out the Mad Queen, Cersei. So I want to see Jaime, take out her. And I also think that, we talked about this earlier, I think Sansa is going to definitely rally the North, get Tormund and Ghost back down there to King's Landing to help Jon. And she's going to spread that word of him being the true heir, and that's going to definitely get people moving to help him.
Great. Any predictions about Bran? I'm really curious. Anyone have any idea if he's involved at all?
Pretty sure he's going to keep doing nothing.
Okay. That's a solid prediction. I think you might be right.
I don't know if the King's Road is wheelchair accessible. I don't think he can make that full trip.
I don't think...
He'd probably get there faster.
Naughty.
Right? Yeah. He would just warg into a raven and fly there,
Maybe. Remember, there was that prophecy about flying.
Yeah, well, he's been flying
in the Ravens.
Maybe
yes.
He knows that Rhaegal is in the bottom of the sea, and he'll go. He'll just find
Rhaegal is dead. Let him go. Let him die in peace.
Can I do a final episode prediction?
Yes, please.
It's a little bit out there, but I think Daenerys takes the Iron Throne, but all of the people have already been made aware that Jon's the rightful heir, and she's going to burn everyone. Just like the Mad King.
Oh my God.
And Jaime has to be the one to kill her.
Or Jon, you mean?
No, Jaime.
Kingslayer.
I think to bring his Kingslayer storyline full circle.
With Oathkeeper.
You think Jamie's going to kill Daenerys?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Bold. That's a prediction
Steven
for you,
in
ladies
the
gentlemen.
Booth.
That's why you come to our show to watch. Because we got predictions like that up in here.
That's a bold one.
That's bold. A bold one.
I have a smaller one. But
Steven
it's
only gives bold predictions.
It's in the spirit, again, of the pieces being on the board that are going to play a role in this. Mm-hmm. And that is, maybe we saw this restoration of Gendry from a Rivers to a Baratheon for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Gendry will show up and be a factor in this battle with some troops, having his warhammer, having some Baratheon armor. And this surprise kind of lark of the mystery Prince of Dorne. I mean, I just frankly don't know if I expect to see 15,000 Dornish men on the field, but it would be more interesting for the characters to have Gendry out there with maybe even just a few hundred Baratheon. And by the way, then he's another character that's working his way up the board in terms of who's on the Iron Throne at the end of this. Again, like Sansa, a real long shot, like Cersei, a real long shot. But these long shots, I think, in this last episode, all really came up the board. And and Gendry would make some points by showing up at this battle with
Jeremy,
some Baratheon men.
Jeremy, just blew my mind.
Great.
Because her rash decision of making him a Baratheon this episode can bite her in the ass when he endorses Jon.
I love it. That's why, Daenerys, you always consult your council before you make these things, these decisions. AK, do you have any predictions for us? Anything you think is going to happen? Just throw it out there in the wind.
It's kind of like what I've been saying. I feel like there are these dualities that can't exist in the end, right? Like, Jaime and Cersei both can't exist in the end. I really do think that Jaime, I'm with Kristen on this one, I do think that Jaime is going to kill Cersei. If not Jaime, then Arya potentially under the guise of Jaime, or there's going to be some collaboration there. Same thing with Jon and Dany. They can't exist in the same world together. So I think that either Jon will come around and do what's good for the people because he's such a man of honor, and maybe he will end Dany, or he's going to be part of the team that does. Also, Little Grey Worm, I think he's going to turn on Dany. That's going to be my main prediction for the next episode. I think with Missandei gone, I think he's going to have sort of a come to Jesus moment and say, what am I fighting this war for? What am I doing? Like, I just lost the love of my life, and I've lost my army, and I'm unsullied, and where do I go after this? What do I do? And so I think that he's going to be part of this team, this collective that's going to build to basically say that that Dany is a mad queen.
Interesting. I think I like it. If I had a prediction, I'm going to throw out there that Bronn's going to kill one of the Lannisters, and that
one of three?
One of them. Just let me off easy for that. And then
Lancel Lannister doesn't count.
I think Daenerys is going to kill Varys after she finds out that he's been talking to people. Those are my predictions.
I like that.
If you guys have your predictions for the next episode or for the series as a whole, please leave us a comment.
Yes.
It's a wonderful stream of comments. We'll put it in the M cup for you, you know. This is a lot of fun, this episode.
Yeah.
Guys, make sure to subscribe. Go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTVSciFi. Check us out there. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Shazam. We're everywhere. And we love that you guys watch. So please give us a thumbs up. It really helps out if you like our show. I'm Ryan Mulotti. You can find me everywhere at Ryan Mulotti. Okay?
I'm Anna K. Thomas. You can find me on everywhere, especially Instagram. It's my favorite, at Anna K. Thomas.
And I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
I'm Jeremy Dan. You can't find me.
He's off the grid. But we're on the grid. We'll see you back here same time next week. Vala Magulis.
Valar Daharis.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.